Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today is the gospel lesson, John 9. I will not reread it, dear friends in Christ. The disciples, they see a man blind. In fact, they hear that he is born blind. And as they are leaving the temple area, they ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now that seems like an odd question to ask, right? I mean, why would we think that way about people's birth and their health? But this is one of the many false teachings of the Jewish faith. As they taught that physical suffering, including blindness, was often because of one's sin, one could suffer for one's parents' sins, or even for the sins committed by the mother or the baby in the fetus during pregnancy. Not in the fetus, the baby. In the womb. It is this false belief on the wages of sin that promotes many a religious leader today to turn news broadcasts into tea leaves for determining God's judgment on this group or that community in our world. The whole time feeling rather self-righteous because nothing bad has happened to them. Please know that this Christianized karma is a sin and it is a tool of the devil. If you are looking for God's judgment, you need look no further than the cross and see his only begotten Son suffering there, bearing our sins and suffering the death that we so, well, rightly deserve. Look into the mirror of the law. Look at your Bible. Hear the full and complete judgment of sin on all sin, yours and mine. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cries out for us, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is not to say that our sins don't have earthly consequences. Eat too much. There you go. Move too little. You get fat. There's other health issues possibly associated with that. But this is not God's judgment on sin, but rather its results. Sins. The wages of our death. Disease. It's all part of dying. Note the man in our text had been blind from birth, and in this way the Holy Spirit teaches us that sin and its consequences are ours from conception. As we learned in the story of Nicodemus, what we need is to be, well, born from above, a new birth. Now this is very important to hear and to hear correctly, for it separates us Lutherans from much of Christianity and from all of false religions. The punishment for our sins were placed upon the one sinless Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and there on the cross, he, that is Jesus, declared it to be finished. So St. Paul writes to the church at Rome, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" You see, with a proper understanding of sin and grace, law and gospel, we can look at our text today and rejoice that Jesus brings sight to all the blind. These are those who are temporarily blind, physically and spiritually. Scripture teaches us that physical blindness is only temporary. In fact, we had a member of our church just last year who had one eye that was completely blind and didn't function since she was a child, and a surgeon, a skilled surgeon, using the gifts that God had given him, rebuilt an eye for her, and she now sees out of it. God be praised. It's temporary. But even if you don't get vision here on earth, in the new heavens and the new earth, when your new body, your heavenly body is given to you, you will have sight. The more damning side of blindness is the kind that you have good eyesight, but you don't see. You see, this man was born blind from birth, and yet Jesus gives him perfect double vision. I know it sounds weird, but he could not only see, but then he could see who Jesus was. He's given faith, not just eyesight. And that's always one of those lovely ones for when somebody was trying to promote the WWJD question mark bracelets, the "What would Jesus do?" What would Jesus do if he came upon a blind person, apparently spitting some mud and wiping on his face? Is that what we're supposed to do? I don't think so. But that's what Jesus did. I didn't think it was going to happen until I read it. And there it was. Sounds kind of nasty to me. Spit and mud wiped on your eyes. Doesn't sound hypoallergenic. But now, the once blind beggar becomes a guide for those who think that they see and yet are blind. The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." Which is a nice way of saying he had to come from God. To say he gave me sight, how else could this have been done? These are those who are eternally blind, though. John 9:16, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can the man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. The Jewish leaders thought they had perfect spiritual vision. What are we blind to? They refused to believe that God had given the man sight, and when they could no longer deny the fact, they treated the whole matter with contempt. I don't know about you, but I always get a laugh out of the parents in this text, because they kind of sidestep everything. We don't want to get in trouble. Here, talk to our son again. Yeah, that's great, Mom and Dad. Here, your son was blind, now he can see. And when the temple wants to call you on the carpet about it and make sure, you're not going to say anything. They would not admit, these Pharisees, to their blindness due to their lack of God-given faith. They could not see the prophecies about the Messiah being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. You heard the Isaiah text this morning. It's declared throughout the prophecies of Isaiah. And here's Jesus, who's telling them that their guilt remains on them because they're not blind. That is a horrible thing to hear. Insisting that they see, they remain blind. In another dealing with the Pharisees, as Matthew records, Jesus says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has been made that made the gold sacred?" The eternally blind will always be blind guides. They are straining at gnats and swallowing camels. Yet Jesus comes to remove all our blindness. Those without faith, those blinded by their own reason, who reject the miracles of the Holy Scriptures and reject the miracles that occur today in and through the means of grace. I mean, I know when an infant gets baptized, we don't think that that's as dramatic as it actually is, I don't think. We don't see the power and awesomeness that's going on. Or when we kneel at the altar today and receive Christ's body and blood, I'm not sure we really always appreciate what's happening. But God is coming to dwell with us. In fact, we come together today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are gathered with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven surrounding us in worship. And sometimes we treat it as if we're just going to put in our time so that we can go back home and feel good about it. Lord, have mercy on all of us. The good news is, He does. You see, Jesus comes to remove it all. Those without faith, those blinded by their own reason, who reject the miracles of Scripture, He comes to do it all. The miracle of an infant given faith and joined to Jesus' death and resurrection through water and the Word. The miracle today of the bread and wine with Christ's body and blood delivered to us in, with, and under. How I don't have the foggiest. But that Word that created the heavens and the earth, that created you and me, is the same Word that said it's there. Therefore, I'm stuck with it. Through the means of grace, we who are blinded by sin are now given sight and then sent. Just like the Pharisees who tried to prove the blind man a liar and to accuse Jesus of deception and sin, many seek to prove the Bible a liar because it gets in the way. Ron Kubitsky handed me this morning an article out of the newspaper, some blowhard. And when I call somebody a blowhard, that's quite a statement. But some blowhard trying to say that white Judeo-Christians are trying to take over the government and the world. Never mind. That's a lot of hot air. What's the difference between someone who wants an entertainment-driven, self-centered worship opportunity that doesn't focus on Jesus and someone who goes fishing instead of going to church? Not a whole heck of a lot. Both are letting their self-centered desires be entertained and rule them. At least the fisherman has a chance of putting something in his stomach or sharing it with his neighbor. St. Paul warns Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We by nature are those who do not see. We confess this when we learn in the small catechism, the third article of the Apostles' Creed. "By nature I am spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy of God. As the Scriptures teach, therefore I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him." But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only salve that the Holy Spirit uses to open eyes that we see and confess before one another as blind men do. "Lord, I believe," and worship Him. God's work through the gospel, proclaiming Jesus as our Savior, sending His disciples to proclaim that which opens eyes of unbelievers. St. Paul writes in the Ephesians, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So with thankful and faith-filled hearts, let us rejoice in the message of the blind man being given his sight, for it is the very story of our own gift of faith. For through faith, we see that nothing is impossible with God, not even giving a blind man his sight, lame people who can walk, dead people life and it everlasting. He even gives faith to you and me. May we passionately and positively join in the confession of this once blind man. "Lord, I believe," and worship Him in spirit and truth. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.